You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cool Games, we are watching for Christian Pulisic's hamstrings. We're checking out for Erling Haaland's purse strings. And we talk about Alexis's viral photo.
That's right. You sabotage me. Plus, we talk to Stephen Fry of the Seattle Sounders, our first Seattle Sounders active player. We talk about winning the MLS Cup, going to every single MLS Cup, and also the Schmetzer hate me. That and more today on the Cool Games.
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Yes! Let's full steam ahead. Roller coaster is going downwards right now.
Yeah, that's probably not the way
wind
going
in our
downwards.
Face. Okay. That's what you need when you're on the next time you're on a roller coaster, you need to be screaming, "Yeah, baby," when they take that photo.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that I'm always screaming, "No!" Yeah.
Hello everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here on Fubo Sports Network.
That's right, also happens to be the gulliest soccer show right here on Fubo Sports Network.
Okay, both of the things are on the resume. We're excited about today's show because we do have our first active Seattle Sounders player on the show.
Seems odd, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like we've had Seattle Sounders players on before? I feel like we've talked to every Seattle Sounders player, but we've never talked to one active Seattle Sounders player.
That is true. Stephen Fry, goalkeeper for the Seattle Sounders, will be joining us today. Obviously, there's a lot going on. MLS season is about to begin in a couple days. Mm-hmm. The Jimi Hendrix kit is out. So we'll talk about all those things. But first we have another player's out. We have to start with Christian Pulisic of Chelsea Football Club.
That's right.
Just more bad news.
Everybody wanted him to get minutes. Maybe we should not have wanted him to get minutes.
His hamstring is like, you know what? I don't really want no minutes, okay?
I'm still kind of like in bench mode, you know what I mean?
Okay, I'm really into all this running around. But Christian Pulisic, after scoring a goal against West Brom, and then, you know, then a red card, a second yellow for Thiago Silva, which is probably debatable, but... second yellow, sent off, and then at halftime, he runs back out onto the
all
pitch.
All we know is that he just wasn't there. Did you watch the match?
I did.
Right? All I know is that he gets subbed at the half.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, did he play that bad in the first half?
I'm like, what more does he need to do? He's four.
I'm like, my guy. Like, I was like, at that point, I was so mad at Tuchel. I'm like, clearly, there's nothing this kid could do. This is a conspiracy. It starts at the top. Let's get Abramovich on the show. You know what I mean? I was so worried.
Yeah, it was odd because he played well in the first half, and then is essentially pulled in the second half. But yeah, we saw the footage after the game of him really lightly jogging back onto the pitch. And
if you saw me jogging at that rate, and I pulled up and grabbed the back of my...
Alexis, I am proud of you for finally taking your health seriously.
You know what? You're only one millionth your way to a marathon.
You got to start somewhere, yeah.
If I did that light jog and I pulled up, you'd be like, that's not enough exercise for you to have pulled the hammy. That's how light this jog was, if you catch what I'm trying to say.
It was a power walk at best, okay?
You know, like when you're at the bodega and you're in the front putting like your chips or whatever on the counter? And the deli's guy's like, yo, what did you? And you can't hear him. So you kind of jog over there and go, what? And he goes, did you want extra mayo on that? And you're like, yeah. That's that jog.
I love the analogy because this is you've definitely been through this situation several times.
Oh, 100%. That's with these masks. You can't hear them. So you got to lightly jog. Oh, and by the way, if they're not wearing a mask, if you can hear your bodega guy, go to a different bodega. I want a fully masked up. I want the shower curtains up to stop the droplets. I want all of it. But that's that light jog. It was nothing that seemed odd. And in fact, he ran right up next to Tuchel. And kind of said like, hey, I just felt something. You could see like a, yeah. And Tuchel was like, said to like the physio, like, take him back.
Yeah, all right, you're like, out. They had like, it was clear like there was some sort of understanding already in place. Like, if you feel even a twinge of anything, mm-hmm. you're getting out out of the game. And because this time, Pulisic wasn't even really like, that frustrated or that upset. It didn't really look like it was that big a deal as it was prior of him getting the injury before. So yeah. He just went up to Tuchel like, hey, it happened again. And he's
remember
like,
you
okay.
said, if those kids made fun of me again, it was like that. Like he didn't stop. He didn't hold his knee. He didn't do anything. He didn't even look confused. He just ran and then just stopped running. He was like, hey, that thing we talked about.
He was happening. Just like, you know, Pulisic is Pulisicking again. And everybody knew exactly what he meant.
Well, do you think that's actually like a thing now? Like, are you I haven't been worried about him being injury prone or maybe having some type of issue with his ligaments that's going to stop him from having a pretty fulfilled career. But at this point, I think we have to have that conversation. Should we be worried? Like, if you were his mom and dad, and, you know, the teacher wrote for the third time, you know, home saying this kid speaks during class. This one's also pretty personal, by the way, other than the dad part. Like, would you be worried at this point? Would you say, like, yo, I think this kid's got a thing we need to fix with his leg now? Or are you worried that this player may not fulfill sort of what we expect of him for the men's national team? Because of these injuries.
I think it's fair to ask that question. A couple of people have
which is why I asked it.
a couple of people have already already suggested like that maybe Pulisic, if this is the scenario that he is going to be in often, that maybe his minutes should be managed. And maybe, you know, we
Do you
all
think
get
we're
frustrated.
At that point?
What'd you say?
Do you think we're at that point?
I think so. I don't know if it's for the rest of his career, but definitely the next year or so. I mean, something needs to be done so that he could have 3-4 month stretches where he is not dealing with this injury. Like
if he heals before the end of the season, you don't think he should play in the Gold Cup coming up?
He's going to play. I mean, there isn't even his minutes are not going to be managed. He's only 22 years old. They are going to ask a lot of him, and a lot is needed from him, especially from the U.S. men's national team. So it's not that realistic that his minutes are going to be managed. But something does need to be done. I know what could be done.
He's got friends in Germany. Let's get that horse placenta, right? Let's get that going, right?
Maybe we get horse
ligaments in there. Whatever.
We got to start getting creative because the one person I think of is there's an interview that I saw with Michael Owen, and Michael Owen had terrible hamstring injuries where his hamstrings were literally where he was running on a like. Literally torn, ripped in half hamstring, and he was still like giving it a go. Yeah. And he was a fast dude, and his career was definitely affected by those injuries. And I don't want that to happen to Christian Pulisic because I think he could be an absolute superstar, not only for the U.S. men's national team but in the Premier League.
He'll be Polish American and a little bit sea biscuit because we're gonna put horse ligaments in you, bro, whether you like it or not. Erling Haaland, right? He's him and his father and his agent are on a private jet world tour of all the major clubs that can afford him. So three, right? Although I think United is technically still in it, but it looks like it's either gonna be City, Real Madrid, maybe Barca, PSG, maybe United. It seems like those five are kind of it. And as far as where he might want to go,
who's he
going
to give a rose to, you know?
Yeah, this is the real bachelor. Great point. His dad played for City. Is that maybe, significant? His dad's final injury came at the hands of a United player. Roy Keane ruined his leg. Does he maybe not want to go to United? Well, it looks like one of those teams might be off, right? They did not get a rose. They got voted off the island. What happened on The Bachelor?
It looks like voted off the Holland. Interesting. Yeah.
It looks like Manchester City. Pep Guardiola said, we can't afford a $100 million player, which, buddy, we don't need to look at the bank accounts. I think you can, right? You've got good credit. Let's just say that.
Interesting move, you know, playing hard to get, you know, yeah. Being like, we don't even really want him, you know?
Right. So we took your Mercedes to the date, but you want to split the bill is what you're saying. So he said that they don't think they need a $100 million player and they can't afford it. And that Erling Haaland is not a player for Pep. For City, he didn't speak in the third person. Does that, to me, it seems like if you're Erling Haaland, that kind of is a signal that you should at least consider elsewhere. Like if you're not, at this point, if you're not being highly, highly sort of sought after and targeted, I know all the rumors are that he's going to play in Spain. He wants to play in Spain. But if you're not being told at every step of the way, you're the perfect player for us, you got to wash that away, right? You got to say to yourself, all right, I'm not going to go play in City. And if that's the case, who does City buy? The City gonna need to buy somebody.
I think the for Haaland, or at least for Manchester City, I mean, why do they want a player like Haaland? So I'm not really that surprised about this statement, because when you look at the players that Pep has and has had in his coaching career, he's never really had like players like Haaland. Did he manage Ibrahimovic when he was in Barcelona? I don't remember if he did.
No. I think he missed it.
But it doesn't seem like the style of player is a necessity for Pep Guardiola. But then,
yeah, Erling Haaland isn't exactly a false nine.
No, but I guess I'm thinking of what it's not crazy for you know, Pep's saying he doesn't need to spend over $100 million on a player, but I don't even think that's the reason. I think it's just like, do we really need him? Like you get him for look, any player is signed for a few reasons, right? Sporting reasons, whether they help the team win. Marketing reasons, because they help the team make money, and then maybe third is just like a favor to help the guy out or something. But for the most part, it doesn't seem like this is teams are going to start dropping off as far as who wants Haaland. And I understand City, they're ready first in the Premier League, so they don't and by like 15-20 points, they don't need a big signing like this to maintain a grasp of winning the title, winning their league. But Champions League is the thing.
They might need him for Champions League. I think of the teams that can afford him or sort of are in the running, I think the team that needs him the most is probably PSG, to be completely honest with you. A lot of people are going to say Barcelona, because I think the Griezmann experiment hasn't worked so far. But I don't think he fits Barca either. Although Koeman will be like, whatever you need, we'll change, get Messi out of here. I think PSG probably need him the most to get over that hump, to get that Champions League, to get all those other things, and to have the credit worldwide. If you're City, who do you sign? I think all signs are kind of maybe pointing at Harry Kane now. Especially since I don't think he's a $100 million player.
You know? I'll get a nice bargain player like Harry Kane.
Just look through the bin. You'll find him at the bottom.
I'm thinking Erling Haaland at PSG would be fun, man.
Wouldn't that be insane?
That would be such a fun team to watch. And if Mbappe stays.
If Mbappe stays and they get Neymar they get Messi on a free, and you spend $100 million on Erling Haaland,
all right, there's no one... You're going too far. Sorry. Right? Like, I almost fell off my chair.
The Monstars, basically, is what I created.
Okay, you're giving me a headache, all right? You're giving me vaccine symptoms with this idea of this
team.
Oh,
my God, did you get the computer chip pimple like me?
Unreal. So, look, it would be wildly entertaining. So, we'll see. Obviously, we're on Haaland to watch, and we'll see where he ends up, because I think he wants to play in Champions League, and I don't think Dortmund is the team that will help him get there. So we shall see. And we have a nice surprise. Obviously, we have our first Seattle Sounders player on the show, but we did receive a gift from the Seattle Sounders. Boom! The Jimi Hendrix kit. We got the scarf as well. Boom.
Beautiful kit. This might be one of the nicest kits an MLS team has released ever.
Okay, I mean, we like the flashiness. Okay,
did you know Jimi Hendrix was from Seattle?
You know what? That was one of those things where I'm like, I thought I knew that, but I'm like, did I know that? You know,
I had no idea. I think I made the internet mad because I said I didn't know anything about Jimi Hendrix. But also, you made me mad at the internet, Christian, because when we were sent this in a beautiful box, by the way, with the scarf, as you mentioned, the club was like, hey, if you take a photo in it, please post it. So Christian said, hey, send me photos. So I took a bunch of photos. I sent you more than one. Did I not, Christian?
You sent me two photos.
Okay. I sent you two. Of the two, one, I look like a child who got touched for the first time by his crush. And in the other one, I probably look pretty cool. Which one did you put up, Christian? And why did you sabotage my week, Christian?
All I can ask you is, why did you send me that photo? I don't understand. Why would you send the photo of yourself that you don't really like?
But don't makes you, no sense. You have no editing, Gary. You can't look at it and go, "Dad, we probably shouldn't post that because he looks like a damn fool." You got like you rock star. Fun. You got a you smoke happy. Machine.
You took the photo. You're happy to be in the Jimi Hendrix kit.
Bruh, did you see what happened afterwards? You know you're wrong. I got roasted.
It was great
destroyed.
Because
destroyed.
The response was great, and this is
for
I
you.
Mean,
you look us, like you're on con. You're like at a concert.
I would say that this photo is the most popular Jimi Hendrix kit photo because it definitely led to the most engagement. The numbers were good.
You got nothing to do with it. That's why you feel that way.
The sounders were like, yes. Okay, keep roasting Alexis.
Dude, I got thrown into some hilarious ones. So it started with, I believe it was the first one was the one of me with the kids background, the kids school photo background,
from
right?
Jose at Jose Cordova, which is a great photo. I mean,
which, by the way, the replies start coming in like, when mom says she packed you extra cookies, you know, like, so like, you know, like that starts happening. And then all of a sudden I get thrown in with the school background. Then Amelia Lopez throws that photo in with her kids' school photos. Then Anibad throws me in the barbershop, choices,
that was
the menu.
A good one. That was a good one.
We got lasers, the whole nine. It went on for days. Days.
This is what the hit, bro. Look, people would kill to have this kind of internet fame. All right, you should be happy about this.
Right. You sabotage me. You know what? In fact, I'm gonna throw this kid on, and I won't do that big smile. I'm gonna look cool as hell for this entire interview when we got Stephen Fry on our show. Come right back. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I just want to bring in with a word from one of our sponsors, us, and you guys being Gully Squad. And you know what? Maybe I keep saying you. Maybe you're listening to this and you're not a member of Gully Squad and you're wondering why. Well, I've given you amazing, reasons why. I've told you the Slack channel is absolutely amazing. Here's another reason why I think Gully Squad is absolutely incredible and why you should join is because whenever we have guests and we've had everything from World Cup winners to MLS, Premier League, NWSL, Legends of the Game, we've had incredible, incredible players on our show, incredible guests from comedians like Roy Wood Jr. of The Daily Show, incredible guests. The only people who get to ask them questions besides Christian and I are Gully Squad. Gully Squad finds out early who our guests are, and they get the chance to put those questions in the Slack. Those are the only other questions we ever ask. If you want to be one of those folks, if you want to join the amazing Slack channel, if you want to become a part of this community, if you want to start, cooperating with some of the Gulliest Kit, the kit that they're making for themselves, if you want to drop some knowledge in the coffee or the beer and wine liquor section or the food porn section, all that, you got to join Gully Squad. Most importantly, if you also want to ask questions of our guests, you either got to become a cooligan, which is impossible, right? Unless you're funnier than Christian, then try out, let me know. Or you got to join Gully Squad and join that Slack community. So if you want to do that, just go to shoutstous.com. Again, that's shoutstous.com. Or you can simply go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. In fact, if you go to soccercooligans.com, it's our website. We worked really hard on it. We think it's really nice. And all over the place, you'll find buttons to join Gully Squad. So do it today. Hi, baby. We're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC, and Christian, our guest is here. And let me tell you something. If he's wearing the same thing you're wearing, which is what I was supposed to be wearing, I'm walking off this thing. Right?
This is incredibly awkward.
Yeah,
we'll see.
What am I wearing? I don't know. What are you wearing? It's too fly of a kid to not be, to everyone.
Look, if we all wear this to prom, we all wear this to prom. It's all good.
You know, if I throw wine on your dress, you got to throw a little bit on mine. We throw some on this guy. Absolutely incredible. One of the absolute best goalkeepers in MLS. And in fact, Christian and I were there and we saw with our own eyes one of the greatest saves ever in the coldest we've ever been, because we were not prepared for this situation. You know him as your Seattle Sounders starting goalkeeper. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one, the only, a true American treasure, Stephen Fry, everybody.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Brother, dude. What's good? Thank you so much for
Wait
joining
a minute.
Us.
What are you wearing, Stephen?
Hey, man, like you said it, it was too good of an opportunity to pass up to really show this beautiful jersey off to the people.
It's yeah, too fly.
I mean, the kid, the Jimi Hendrix kid from the Seattle Sounders is definitely, it took the you know, look, and I'll say this, when it comes to MLS kids, the bar, let's be honest, is pretty low, right? It's just like,
it's set right at white tee.
As long as it's not a white kid, people are like, thank heavens, it's something different.
You know, usually as a goalkeeper, I'm the one that gets to wear the crazy colors, and I'm super happy with that. And I don't think I ever asked my kit guy for a jersey, a field player jersey. But as soon as this one dropped, I was like, Nolan, can you get me one? I need one. It's pretty dope. So I'm happy with it.
Okay. Which actually brings me to my first question. Have you ever swapped jerseys? And when you do you want like the outfield player kit, or do you want the other keeper kit?
There's a couple of outfield player guys, but that's more, you know, a guy I used to play with maybe before at Toronto or somewhere else or in college or something like that. But other than that, it's usually goalkeepers, you know. I mean, Nick Romando, I think his last game was in Seattle, and I needed to make sure I would get that one. I think I have multiple jerseys of his because I think he's a legend. But yeah, those are the ones, you know, goalkeepers union. You got to stick together. And it's nice to have a little collection of some of the guys that have been in this league before, and
okay,
done the same thing as me.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, there is. I'm wondering if it's a subjective thing. Like is it a personal choice of who you want to ask a kid for? There isn't anything uncomfortable, awkward, like from a goalkeeper asking a forward or anything. Like is there any rules or etiquette when it comes to changing swapping kits?
I don't know. I mean, I've never had to do it with a field player where it gets awkward. You're probably right. You know, if I save a PK of of Blanco, and then after the game I'm gonna be like, hey, I want your jersey. He'd probably be like, go screw yourself. You know, get out of here. But no, I think I've never gotten shut down. You know, I've always asked, and then at the worst, it's like, ah, oh, sorry, we can't give this one away. It's going to charity or something. But
okay.
Which begs the question: the reference I made earlier was that incredible save on Josie's shot in MLS Cup final in Toronto. Which, by the way, Christian and I dressed super nice because it was the first time we ever got media passes. And it turns out we were outside. That's how low within the totem pole we were. So we were bundled up crazy. And that save warmed us up for a little bit. And we're not even Seattle Sounders fans. Did you ask Josie for that jersey? And what do you think his response would have been if you did?
I just want to go back to you guys were all bundled up. I was wearing a t-shirt and shorts, okay?
Like,
I
on was a warm freezing. Pitch.
Oh, no, it was – oh, my God. Honestly, the crazy thing there was we were doing a warm-up, and this guy comes around with a water hose spraying the whole field. And I look at my keeper coach, like, what is this guy doing? Okay. And they're like, it's MLS rules. Hockey? We gotta give it a little something.
Well, but I knew water... something happened because the Zamboni came out. And yeah, I was like, this is clearly.
I mean, the water hit the crossbar, and it froze instantly on the crossbar as it hit. It was wild, yeah. But no jersey. Yeah. No Josie Altidore jersey, but I was happy we were able to take the trophy.
It has been an interesting experience for us because these two stars on this kit, we've been present for both of them. And
we snuck on the field for one of them.
it's a strange experience that we've had with the Seattle Sounders because the first MLS Cup we had the experience, it was incredibly cold. You guys, Roman Torres, the penalty, it was just a wild game. And then unfortunately, the loss the following year, and then the win at home. It's been we've talked about this on the show a little bit. Like, is this a dynasty for the Seattle Sounders? Some people say yes, some people say no. But being a part of it, being the goalkeeper that's been a part of such a successful group, how does that feel? And does the conversation of a dynasty even come up in the locker room?
I mean, I think to put a label of a dynasty on something, other people have to do that. If you're part of a good squad, then and you're going to go walk around calling yourself a dynasty, you're definitely not a dynasty. So, you know, we're just trying to put ourselves in positions where we can win trophies. And we've been very fortunate enough to get ourselves into those positions, which, by the way, so were you guys not in Columbus in Ohio last year? Is that your guys' fault that we didn't win that one?
Possibly.
No, but I mean, it sometimes it hurts too when you have an opportunity, but you let it slip through your hands, right? I mean, we've had numerous opportunities, and that's great. But we've also let a couple slip through our hands, unfortunately. But the more opportunities you have, the more likely you'll add some more stars to it. So I'm happy that we've had them, and I want to keep having these opportunities. So I'm happy to be here.
And I'm interested in your thoughts in this, because this conversation has come up a couple of times, probably come up a lot more since the last MLS Cup final. Is Brian Schmetzer a great coach, right? And the question is, everyone assumes he's a good coach, but is he a great coach? You're there. I mean, he gets so much credit for the run you guys have been on since he took over midseason when he did take over. You've been there since that happened. What are your thoughts? Talk about what do people not see with Brian Schmetzer? Because I know I asked him a silly question once and he rolled his eyes. I mean, I think he hates me. But what do you see on a day-to-day basis? Is he really is he that extra oomph that gets you guys over the hump, if you will?
I think there's numerous things that work in his favor that he does exceptionally well. You know, for one, he loves his club. He loves his city. I mean, he's I think he would die for this team if he'd have to. So that love in a sport, I mean, in a sporting world period, I think it's more and more drifting towards mercenary attitudes. You know, I remember growing up in Switzerland where, you know, guys playing for 10 years at Bayern Munich was still happening. And nowadays, if you see someone play at a club for an extended period of time, it's very rare. So I think in this day and age, to see someone that wants to really instill that mentality that, hey, this is a special place and you really should cherish your time here, that is number one, right? I think number two, he puts a lot of onus on the players. Obviously the first year here was a bit difficult because in the middle of the season, you can't just come in and be like, all right, throw the whole playbook out and I'm going to show you some new tricks here. So I think it started there already where he said, look, we're in this deep hole, but you are the ones that will have to dig yourselves out of it. I can't do it for you. Nobody else can do it for you. We have quality here. I believe in you. You guys should believe in yourselves. So every season you have these tough moments, you know, these dark holes, and you have to go through them. And I think he does an exceptionally good job of allowing his players to find ways to get out of the holes, and then because of that, reap the rewards of, you know, feeling confident and then going on extended runs that pushes us late into the playoffs and gives us an opportunity at trophies.
Yeah, it you know, we talk about Schmetzer often, and when we say, like, he has like this big TV dad energy, right? Where it feels like at the end of every episode of Full House, there was advice, there was something that a lesson that, you know, could legitimately help you in your life. And that's why Schmetzer feels like he offers. There's
like, if he benches you, the next morning he shows up to your house and you wake up, he's making you pancakes and bacon. You know what I mean? And he has sit down conversation with you. That's how it feels.
Like, I haven't gotten the pancake treatment yet. We like to, as goalkeepers, you have to evolve constantly. And over the past few years, playing out of the back has been more and more a thing, you know. And for an old fart like myself that has been taught, hey, when in doubt, kick it out, to have to adapt, it's difficult, right? But so one day, you know, I'll do something well, and then the next he'll come up to me too and be like, why didn't you play out of the back there? So you never know where you're at with him at the same time. But he also, I think he knows how to toy that line, or, you know, toe that line and make sure that everybody's good. And most importantly, that the players are good together, right? Because sometimes it can almost work a little bit. If someone's a little bit mad at a coach, that could be a good thing, right? As long as the team is strong together as the 18, 20, whatever I mean, we have, those are the ones that will be on the field and have to be tight. And I think he understands that really well.
And one of the things I want to talk about, because I really appreciate the especially publicly, the culture that the Seattle Sounders put out. You see a lot of stuff on social media. You see Christian Roldan eating pizza. You guys, it's always great. Alexis, we're trying to get I'll roll down on here as well to talk to him about pizza. Alexis is a pizza expert, so just put out a warning to Christian if you can.
I'll put in a word for you guys, see if he wants to join in.
We'd very appreciate nice. It, okay?
Let him know we're going to talk pizza for sure.
One of the other things I really love is when Seattle wins away, right? The Jingle Bell song that you guys do. It looks fun. Clearly, but it seems like the moments like that are significant, especially because you get to celebrate, and there's a camaraderie that you don't really see publicly from other teams. So I'm curious, when you sing that song, how does that feel? Is it like, oh, we just sang it again, here we go, or is it like, yes, this feels good to sing this at the away stadium?
So it's a great question, because I think it hits a thing that I'm kind of struggling with, and maybe this is because I'm one of the older guys and old school, but it's really great to give people an insight in these things, and I'm now at the point where I feel like certain things are sacred too, and they are a part of a team that should be kept within. So it's nice to give people a glimpse here and there. But I love it the most when you do it for your own team and the camera's not in the middle and you see the red dot it's on and going around left and right, you know. So yeah, it's good that you guys see that, because I think it was meaningful, because when I first joined here, it was Zach Scott leading that, and leading that with all his might, you know, and belting it out as loud as he could. And it's always funny when you see a new guy join the team and he may not even speak English that well, like a Yamar, you know, and he's like, what is going on? These guys are crazy, you know? I think he quickly understands that it's a tradition and it's something cool. It's something to be proud of. When you go down to Portland, a difficult place to play at your rival's place, and you're able to snag 3 points, that's huge. You got to celebrate that.
Are you even able to go get a meal in Portland? Like, you must be hated there. And you're such a nice guy. Like, are you able to just, like, go, I don't know, go get a bagel somewhere in Portland?
I've never been to Portland outside of work. So, even with Toronto, we would be stuck in the hotel there when I played with Toronto. With the Sounders, I definitely don't want to venture out. But obviously, this last year has been a bit crazy, you know, and we've been flying out and mornings of and flying back right after the game. So it's been a bit different, but it's a good rivalry because it's authentic. Just going back to, again, to my days in Toronto, they were dying for a rivalry. And I think they somehow created that Trillium Cup with, US versus Canada. It was whatever. I think this is real. And so if that means I can't go get a bagel in Portland, so be it. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. let's talk a little bit about, obviously the season is about to begin. We'll talk a little bit, a little bit later about last season, but the preparation for this season. Last year was crazy, right? Because, a pandemic starts and we don't know when games are happening. You played some games and then all of a sudden everything is changing. But now the preparation is, we're a little bit more familiar with what the circumstances are going to be. So what is this preseason like for you? And now that you know, maybe we'll have some fans here and there, but under these conditions.
Yeah, I mean, our preseason, we tend to go somewhere, whether it be Arizona or LA. Last year, we obviously had CONCACAF as well. So we went to, I think we went to LA first, and then we ended up going to Mexico for quite a while, Mexico City, before going down to Honduras to play against Honduras. I don't think we went to Honduras, but so this year we decided, let's just stay at home. Give people a chance to stay with their families in a safe environment. We know where we're at. We wanted to go to LA to just get some games under our belt right before, but we were able to get some games up here instead. So we did that. And just looking forward to the season. Yeah, I think we know what to expect. Right, because at a bare minimum, it's going to be somewhat similar to what it was last year when we kind of finally figured it out. I think that was the most challenging part last year. It wasn't the fact that we, had to deal with new circumstances, but it was so many times a go and stop and go and stop, you know, and so many restarts. And mentally, that's exhausting, because you tend to spend the preseason not just physically getting ready, but also mentally getting ready for a long, grueling season. And then when all of a sudden someone pulls the plug and goes like, all right, put your feet up for a couple months and then we'll see you later. But you got to ramp up right away again. Yeah. You know, you got to do that multiple times. It's difficult. So I hope we can avoid that this year. And obviously, hopefully we can finally get some fans in the stadium and just thinking of that Minnesota game at home, if we would have had some fans in the stadium, I mean, that would have been a moment. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Let's talk a little bit about the expectations for this season. Obviously, it's going to be a little different with the COVID, hopefully restrictions not being as strict as they were last time. You guys are going to get to go to different stadiums, maybe some fans at some of the stadiums. But I know that there's sort of a feeling when it gets to the playoff times, everyone's like, oh, here we go. Seattle's going to go on a run. They're going into the MLS Cup. Do you guys have the same expectations? Is it for you a we're in the final or we failed?
I look at it more as we have a certain standard and it's a very high standard. And I don't want to be part of the Sounders squad when that standard drops. If you have a high standard, that's great, but it puts more pressure on the players to maintain that. So for me, it's not you're going to get there. It's actually, it makes it more and more difficult to make sure that we do get there. I definitely don't want to be the first Sounders squad to not make the playoffs, right? I mean, that's a huge streak and that's something to be very proud of. And something that you want to keep going, but in the back of your head, you're also thinking, there's some pressure there. You need to keep it going, right? again, it's a good problem to have, right? I'm so blessed to have had the chance to be here for such a long time. It was actually one of the reasons why I wanted to come here, you know, because even then, after my Toronto years, I was thinking about maybe going to Europe and trying it out there, but. When this opportunity came along, it was like with their continuous and success and just having those Open Cup successes and making it into the playoffs and having the fans and having high expectations and aspirations, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, when we went to, I mean, we've only been to, it was CenturyLink Field the time we went. Obviously, it's Lumen Field now. But when we were there for the final, and you always hear about it, especially, you know, in the Sounders, the Seahawks, you know, that the decibel meter and there's a minor earthquake and all this stuff. And you're like, yeah, sure. But when we were
actually
there.
No, it's real.
In there. We were like, yo, this is dangerous, okay?
Yeah. Has anyone checked the bolts of this place? Should we be in a doorway right now? Like, every time a goal is scored by Seattle.
Well, you mentioned, yeah, the fan base. Obviously, it's interesting because the Sounders and the Sounders fan base, ECS, there is just a rabid and the level of support is just incredible. And then there's also this competition, even with the fan base, for Atlanta United. Atlanta United got in the league, and they're like, all right, we're the new Sounders, all right? We're trying to cause some earthquakes out here in Atlanta. But it's nice to see. And look, I can imagine ending up in Seattle and wanting to go there. Obviously, an easy decision when you see a fan base like that.
Absolutely. And, the stadium now, you see lots and lots of teams getting really nice soccer-specific stadiums, and it would be really neat to have that. But Lumen Field is—it's acoustically, it's such an amazing place. I remember when I played here as an opponent the first time with Toronto, and not only was I I thought it was crazy the noise, the sound, but then also the positivity of the fans. That was one thing that struck me. You know, I remember going down to Columbus, and it would be a lot of the noise would be. Targeted at me, the opponent, don't get me wrong. I think the Sounders also have some chance that target the opponent. But for the most part, it's trying to be uplifting to your team. It's a bit of a Seattle. I feel like it's a bit of a Seattle.
Stereotype. Yeah, they're nice. Yeah. Everybody's nice. Yeah.
Well, we want our neighbors to do well. I think maybe that's also why a lot of startups here do well. You're the company. Hey, my neighbor is starting this thing out. I want my sports teams.
You figure with all the caffeine flowing through all of you, you'd be on edge.
Lots of energy flowing around.
Stefan, we have our own supporters group. They're called the Gully Squad, and they get a chance to ask our guest questions. And this is a really good question. This is from a fan called Sean Forsyth. And he starts off with, as a Portland fan, I just want to say thanks to him. I know, right? I saw the smile. You thought I was going to be disrespectful, right? He said, I want to say thanks to him for coming over. I know, right? Everyone book your seatbelts just in case. Thanks for coming over to applaud Timbers Army at the end of the Iron Front protest match in 2019. Some things are bigger than rivalries. What a class act. And what How much did it take for you to do that, to go over and applaud that fan group, right, of all fan groups? And two, any specific reason why you did that, and how was it perceived?
I think that issue, it was kind of, I think the Portland Timbers, as well as our supporters, were the two groups that kind of took the lead in that. And there was collaboration between the two of them too. So immediately it was a sign that this is bigger than the game. And so I wanted to definitely commend them for that. It needs people to stand up. It's easy, especially if you're not affected. We've seen a lot of things happen over the last year, specifically, if you're not part of a minority, there's a lot of possibilities for you to just kind of keep in your lane and not pay attention to things. But I think it's important that we do discuss these things and maybe take a stand here and there. And with that, they did that. So I wanted to commend them for that. I think we also won that game, so it was easy for me to go over and give it a clap. But so, yeah, I don't mean to rub that in. But no, I think it's important. Like I said, this last year has been very, very disturbing at times. And maybe it is also because we're in a day and age where everybody walks around with a cell phone. So we get this raw footage and it's harder to ignore. And obviously right now we know that the trials are going on what happened with George Floyd on mm-hmm. his murder. And it's sad that it needed to go this far, that we needed to see footage in our face for non-minorities to finally wake up and say, you know what, I'm gonna get behind this. But we are, and job is definitely not done. You know, just taking a knee hasn't really achieved much at this point. So things need to keep, we need to keep pressing. We need to keep pressing, keep pushing, because this country has a lot to change for us to live up to what we want to stand for, I think.
Of course. Right. Yeah, and credit, the Timbers and Sounders, I mean, we've been to matches, and you see it on TV, but when it comes to taking stands and having a strong stances on anti-fascism, anti-racism, anti-homophobia, all these things, they are leaders in that. Yeah. And you know, MLS supporters, I have to applaud, because I think when it comes to, you know, we always talk about how is MLS going to be the best league in the world and all this other stuff, but when you look at the supporters, the supporters themselves really take a stand in doing the right thing. Exactly. So, you know, I have to give a shout out to them. So okay, we got some more questions. We got a question from a Sounders fan this time. Oh. Jaron, he asked, was Stefan surprised to see his pregame pep talks recorded? Would love to know what he thinks about the fan response to them.
So that's another one, exactly, right, where it was really nice, I think, to give people a glimpse into something like that. But before you know it, I'm sitting there thinking about what can I say? Should I drop all these F-bombs? Rather than thinking about, like, what do I want to say to my guys, you know? I think there's that fine line, you know, of what is a really nice insight. And once in a while, you know, it's good. There's been even times where it's like, I told our dudes, it's like, no camera today. We need to just have our own space. But the response has been fantastic. You know, I'm a really quiet guy off the field, but I get juiced on the field, man. I get excited. I think there's a lot at stake. Anything you do, you want to win. You know what? What are we here for? Let's freaking win!
Well, when we met you in at the MLS All Star game, we shook your hand, and I'm like, "This is a dude I don't want to mess with." This dude. Yeah.
I don't think your handshake actually, was. I don't intense. Think it was your hand. I think you have a shaved bear paw that you use. You tape to your hand.
It's just my cripple fingers, just because I'm a goalkeeper. So I'm sorry, I can't shake hands properly anymore.
We have a question.
I was just gonna say, there's certain sacred things, but I'm happy that people got a small insight into that, what we do in a team huddle, and I'm happy that the response has been great.
We'll know you're censoring yourself if you're like, come on, you. Mother, everyone's a mother, right? People have mothers. You don't say the whole word. Yeah. This is Kevin Brothers, who's also a massive Seattle Sounders fan. He wants to know your thoughts on the U.S. men's national team. Obviously, they just had a little bit of a rough loss in Olympic qualifying there. And also, What are the chances you'll be included going forward? And if not, everyone knows you became an American citizen in 2017. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What are we thinking? Have you talked to Berhalter?
I'm like 50 at this point, so it's not gonna, I don't think it's gonna happen. But you know, I don't know. I think that I'm still trying to get my thoughts together on what just happened with the U23s and with the national team. But you know, the things that I was thinking is, like, for too long, I feel like the national team has been an experiment, and it's been we're going to try to properly do this and that. Let's win games. Let's go and get into Olympics. I don't care how we do it. Sometimes I think the MLS and maybe US soccer, we try to bypass some steps. You know, we want to be a top five league right away. Well, you have to become a selling league first. You have to go through these stages before you can be a top five. I think the national team is the same way. You know, what an amazing experience it would have been for these young guys to go to the Olympic and a platform and experience. And then you can start talking about, well, you know, you see different things and then maybe you can evolve. But now we experimented, and because of that, we bit ourselves in the butt again, I feel like, a little bit. So it's difficult to see.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I got some other questions. This is just a comment. This is from another Sounders fan. This is Siri Brown. She is a Sounders fan in Montana, and she just said, "I may have squealed when I saw this when we posted that you were going to be on the show, and now for the life of me, I can't think of a single question. All I can say is thank you for all he does on and off the field." So shout out to Siri for that. But I do. This is a question from a Columbus Crew fan. Oh boy, Andrew Johnson did ask. And we can talk about I want to ask about the save against El Salvador as well, maybe a little bit. But he says, which goal in the 2020 MLS Cup was more shocking? Lucas's midair left foot on his second goal, or Derek Etienne's extra touch after the pass from Lucas? Right? Obviously, it was and we'll just obviously give a little background on the game. Obviously, it was a bit of a, you know, we picked the Sounders, and I think a lot of people did, especially.
And Derek is a friend of the show, and he was mad, but we picked the Sounders.
He was really mad at us for that. But, you know, I think a lot of people did expect the Sounders to win, especially with Columbus Crew, a couple of the Crew players missing. But, it, you know, outside of just these specific goals, I think the result was a shock as well.
Yeah, I think looking back at that after gaining some distance from it, I think the biggest thing was it shows you how difficult it is to win a final away from home. And so for us, you know, looking at a you know, dropping points against Chicago at the Orlando tournament. You know, we needed just, I think, one more point or even just a win, and we would have hosted. And it just changes the whole freaking thing. I mean, even looking back at like you said, when we won against Toronto in Toronto, I mean, that's not going to happen consistently. You know, that's just so difficult to do. And I think they were amped. They were up for it. It was a good year for them to get into the final with a lot of things that have happened in that team's history, and how they've turned things around and kept the team there. And now they're obviously have a new stadium on the horizon. So really amazing year for them to get all those things to come together and have some good players. And I think for me, I don't know, you know, I'm trying to block these goals out of my head.
But here comes Christian, you know, bringing it up.
But no, you get a sense of games. You know, the ebb and flow. I think it's the beauty of the game. You feel pressure mounting as a goalkeeper. You feel that. And from the get go, they had us on our heels. And you know, we dodged one where I think it was Zardes, or I can't remember, someone had a shot that almost went in, and it was just, we couldn't find a relief. We couldn't find a way to really burst that pressure for just a split second and maybe create something on the other side. And so it was almost inevitable for them to take the lead. And it was not a good game. Again, like I said, this was one of those games that an opportunity, a huge opportunity that you let slip through your hands. And difficult.
All right, we did it again. Another one in the book. Thank you so much to Sounders goalkeeper Stefan Fry for joining us. Yes, you are our
legend.
First Sounders player on the show. It is an absolute honor. I'm excited to, again, the MLS season is coming back. Opening night, April 16th, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. Seattle Sounders taking on Minnesota. I'm excited to see that. But Stefan, is there anything you want to mention before we sign off?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. It was a pleasure. Just to everybody watching out there, stay healthy. You know, I think this pandemic has been crazy. We're not out of it yet. Stay safe. Keep wearing a mask. Get vaccinated if you can. And stay sane mentally. You know, for me, I do my art like that one behind. So get something that gets you going and keep you sane. If you want to follow my art stuff, it's stephan24fry.com. where I will have prints like this one behind me available, but make sure you stay sane and you take care of yourselves and your loved ones.
Okay, it's great. It's beautiful art. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the site right now. It's absolutely gorgeous work. Okay, it's amazing what you've managed to do with those hands that have just stopped. You know, set 80 mile per hour shots.
You probably got the thickest paintbrushes for those hands. tree stumps,
fingers. Yeah.
So everybody, make sure you follow us as well at Soccer Cooling. It's on all social media platforms. Follow at Fubo Sports and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the show. Mr. Fry, we are now, it is time for your Golazo GIF. How would you celebrate a goal? You can do whatever you want.
Last minute of the match, an extra time, you ran up. Schmetzer's like, get up there, Stephan. And you scored a header on a corner. For the last play of the match against the Portland Timbers.
I was so close. About 3 years ago, I came up against Dallas in Dallas, and I actually hit the header and freaking Seitze with an amazing save in the upper V. But what I would have done is when I play FIFA on my Xbox, I always celebrate with – it's like a dead fish sort of. Like he runs and then just stops, tucks his arms in and fluffs to the ground. Probably pop out my shoulder while I do it, but that's what I would do.
No, that's a great one. Yeah, because that's at the market where they toss the fish, whatever.
There
that's
you go.
Great. It would be appropriate. Okay. That's the way to go out. Do your shoulder, be done, career over. You scored the goal.
At your age, that's the, we'll call that the 4 to 6 weeks.
Amazing. Stephan Fry, thank you so much for joining us. And again, best of luck this season. Look, if it's an MLS Cup final, the Sounders will probably be there. We're already used to it. That's what we pretty much expect all the time. All right, so let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Stephan Fry, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Hooligans!